Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Edition. The free agency fallout edition. The countdown to the most important Packers edition, without Jason Wilde, who wrote the articles, but with Brian Bulaga and Homer, who are scheduled to appear. The Jesse and Old T edition. Can I say it's my favorite editions when it's that?
You can do whatever you want, Jesse.
It's not really true. I like when, you know, we're at full strength, but
okay.
These can be fun sometimes. Of Wilde and Tausch, 94.5 ESPN.
Were you looking
Milwaukee.
For me to say yes, Jesse? These are the best of the best?
I don't know what I was looking for there, I suppose, because there was kind of set you up for a lose-lose, didn't
yes,
I?
Yes, you did.
94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, the ESPN Wisconsin app, live video streaming on YouTube, as well as on the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed and Facebook page. No Jason Wilde today or tomorrow. He is on assignment, set to return for the annual State of the Packers show this Saturday at Summerfest on ESPN Wisconsin, starting at noon, big Saturday afternoon out at Summerfest with Gabe Neitzel and Alex Stroff. So in the interim, I am Jesse Nelson, normally the producer of this fine program. Today I slide over into the host chair here in the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison, where I am joined by Cousin Sub of the Day, Riley Yauch, producing the show. Good morning, Riley.
Good morning, Jesse.
Can we see Riley on the video stream?
Not yet.
Well, he's got the old school Packers Super Bowl champion shirt, and I believe the last time that the NFL did the logo right. You know, it's so boring and bland now. They put some New Orleans flair in the Super Bowl logo, and it's so much better. I don't know why they ever went away from that, because that's an odd. I don't. That shirt's 40 years old.
Well, yeah, it was original. Pretty close.
But why would they? Why would they ever go away from that to this block? Blech. I don't understand. I don't know why.
Packers Steelers first Super Bowl to have the new style of logo.
Mm-hmm.
45.
I feel like it was before that. It got real bland.
It got more bland, but the current silver.
For a league that is always looking to be cutting edge and more uniform options and all this stuff, why would they revert with that? Does that make any sense?
I think it's marketing based, would be my guess, because then they can print shirts and they can put it on, you know, merchandise and things a lot easier than customizing.
That's literally on a shirt.
Yeah,
and I've seen it on a hat.
I know that's the old days of doing it. It takes more to do. Like, they can make stuff a bunch in advance.
It's easier
now to
make stuff now than it was then. You have 3D printers. They're making stuff out of thin air basically, and you're telling me they can't do that because it's easier to do it with block? I'm sorry, that makes no sense.
I think so. I'm just trying. I like the other logos, just for the record. I'm just trying to come up with the reasons why they would do this. My other guess would be the NFL likes uniformity and making the Super Bowl like have its own brand.
Why are they making different jerseys then? And you can do throwbacks, and they're having you do all this other fun, unique stuff. And they're letting them do cleats. So they're actually uniformity. They're actually going away from uniformity.
I don't know why they would do it. I think they should. I agree. It's more fun when the Super Bowls have customizable logos. And you have the Super Bowl Mardi Gras style.
Sure.
And you have the there was a USA-themed one, I think, when they – there was like all kinds of fun stuff. Like that makes more sense. I agree.
Yeah. I know having dabbled in graphic design and attempting to learn how to make logos.
You are a big dabbler, aren't you? What else are you dabbling in?
Graphic design a little more than dabbling. I worked for UW Athletics as a graphic designer for a period of time in college.
Dabbling. Yeah.
And
what? Give us something that you did over there.
Yeah, what'd you make?
All right. So for the Wisconsin Notre Dame football.
I'm going to say this before you even get into this. You're the most interesting cat in this office.
Yes.
By far. All right. Continue.
All right. So for the Wisconsin-Notre Dame Shamrock Series game back in 2021, I was charged with
bad
making...
Really fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was a tough day.
I was glad I was unable to watch that game. But I was charged with making some phone wallpapers for the social media team to put out.
Okay.
So we had a couple, one with the uniform elements from their forward uniforms, which I really like those, by the way. Then I had one with Ches Malusi stepping over Soldier Field, had the like play like a champion today sign like drowning in Lake Michigan, which I liked. Had one with just raising the helmet up. Did a lot with track, did a lot of branding with wrestling. Let's see, did tennis.
What
softball.
Was your tennis stuff?
My tennis stuff?
Love.
Yeah. No, it was more graphics like when like the ITA rankings came out. I do, hey, Wisconsin is ranked 28th in the ITA doubles
rankings. And you put that
rankings.
On a t-shirt?
No. It'd be more, I
on
was
a
more in social media graphics. Okay. I only did a couple fan giveaway t-shirts
right.
for like soccer
I like the play like a champion sinking into the bottom of Lake Michigan. That's a great visual.
Thank you.
I hope they bring
I'll
that back next
it.
Year.
I'll find it and put it up at some point.
All
today.
Right.
The game at Lambeau next year, Wisconsin-Notre Dame
there's
rematch.
A little conundrum that happened over the weekend that I was waiting until Jason was gone to get into because I knew Riley was going to be producing.
Oh, boy.
Got some youth.
Got
all right,
some
so
youth.
We ended up going to the Morgan Wallen concert on Sunday, and it was fun. My Eleanor was all excited to go. Max, not as much. We went with another couple. There's two couples, and I want to, and I'm gonna protect everybody's names and or. Images from this because I want to understand what you guys would do. Jesse, you're an old man. Riley, you're not.
Yes.
Let's say you and what was the quill pen gal's name? Just for reference.
Katie.
I
am offended that Riley is not considered an old man when he writes love letters with quill pens.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That's so throwback.
I don't know
traditional.
What
even...
Oh, throwback
so not,
traditional.
Not old, though.
So, Riley, you with your old girl, you're still dating, okay? Let's just say, and I know that probably is a little heart-wrenching for you, but let's just put that into – you and six of your friends, you're dating, there's maybe one other couple, and then just a bunch of girlfriends all go to Morgan Wallen.
Okay, so there's only two guys here.
Well, let's just say there's three guys and four girls. Five.
Okay.
There's a group of eight of you. Everybody's having a great time. But you are dating – this young lady mm-hmm. for about a year and a half, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is excited. You spend good money to go to this. You get down there. You're having a great time. And let's say you're overheated and you had way too much to drink. And you get evacuated from the evacuation. You know, they evacuated the stadium.
Yep.
But they evacuate you from the evacuation
because
you drank too much.
Oh, my.
So let's say this happens.
That is a tough... Mm-hmm. deal.
What is your route? Because the rest of your crowd didn't drink too much and can still go and enjoy it. You are the girlfriend. It's your girlfriend
mm-hmm.
of a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You're in love, all this stuff. She gets evacuated just because she was overheated and had too much to drink. What is your role as that boyfriend with your friends, having a great time, Do you evacuate yourself and give up and take this person home? Do you say, you're an idiot? I'm not going to miss out on this great time that I paid for? What do you do in this scenario?
That's tough. So my girlfriend has too much to drink, gets evacuated. And
she gets evacuated from the building.
Now
the
evacuation. It's up to me. Yeah. I have my friends
Your
on
friends
one side.
Your friends are here, and they're all like, we're still ripping.
They're ready to go back.
I paid like $300 for this
Probably
ticket.
Probably more.
Mm-hmm. But, and then I have my girlfriend who has to leave.
It's not your wife.
No.
It is your girlfriend. Oof. Of a year and a half.
Year and a half is a long time
long
to be together.
I think my first attempt is if she has friends in the area, maybe call one of her friends, see if she can go stay there, if she can get picked up and stay there. So
let me interject quickly. Let's say you have been with this young lady for an extended period of time, and you're very good friends with their sister. Do you call the sister? Because this was the initial
sounds oddly
thought.
Specific.
Do you call the sister? No, this is not nothing to do with this.
Of course, yeah, hypothetical.
Do you call the sister?
I call the sister. I would call the
so
sister.
So you really want to abandon?
That's not what I'm saying.
It sounds like you want to stay and have somebody else deal with the problem. What is Morgan Wallen's thing called? You're not the problem, or you're
the problem tour.
I'm the problem.
No, it's I'm the problem tour.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is a problem.
Yep.
Okay, continue.
And I think if the sister is unavailable, or if she...
Don't you wish, like, if it happened to you, would you want your girlfriend to take you home and take care of you?
See, I'd want my girlfriend to at least act like it, and then I can be like, nah, you're good. Just enjoy the concert. Like, I'll be fine. I could get myself home.
He brings up a good... I don't know if you want my opinion on this. Okay.
No, but I wanted Riley's first because I could actually see this scenario playing out for Riley.
As opposed to me,
yes,
where I'm too old for this to
You're playing
be a
bingo
thing.
And canasta down at
but
the KC Hall.
Understood. Ultimately, when it comes down to brass tacks, you got to go with him. A year and a half is... serious enough commitment that if there's no other option or no other good option, I feel like you should go. Should take one for the team.
844-770-3776 is the Carbless ESP at Wisconsin talk and text line if you'd like to weigh in on this hypothetical scenario that Tausch has presented for us. The Carbless ESP at Wisconsin talk and text line. Jesse and Tausch today on Wildy and Tausch. I think... number one, you cannot let the person, whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever you're with in this scenario, you can't let the person leave alone.
Yes.
That
Agree.
Is unacceptable. Cannot. Okay. If that person is being removed from a concert where everybody's getting after it,
sure.
If they're being removed, they cannot be trusted on their own to get home safe.
I think we all agree with that.
So that's number one. So someone needs to be with this person escorting them. If there are no other options available, it's up to the significant other. And you just got to bite the bullet at that point and say, I got to leave the concert and I got to make sure my significant other of a year and a half gets home safely. Or if this is first date and you're like, all right, well.
No, first date, you ain't have your deuces.
You got a friend, like, okay, figure deuces. It out. Different. Still make sure they're, you know, with someone responsible. But you can ditch them at that point and never call them again. Like, whatever. It's first date.
Okay.
Year and a half, you're in this. You're in it at a year and a half, so it is up to you, and it's up to what your relationship is with your significant other to know what they would want you to do in this scenario. I think by a year and a half, you know what that person is expecting of you in this situation. And I think, like, for some, it would be if we're in this together.
This is a real relationship tester.
Yes.
Yeah.
If we're in this together, then sorry I, you know, made a mistake. But I need you in this with me to make sure I get home safely, and that's going to be meaningful to me. Or on the other hand, some would value...
But you're an idiot, and you're going to ruin his experience by being an idiot.
It would be difficult to overcome knowing you're not only responsible for getting yourself kicked out, but you also cost your significant other money and an experience because you made mistakes. So
with
some,
their friends. Yes, it's not. Yeah. This was a real, if this scenario is playing out, I'm thinking there's just a lot of nuance to this.
Yes, for sure. So if it was me, if I was the one who had consumed too much and needed to be taken home, I would not want...
First off, Becca's
she
dropping
should,
you in an Uber.
She
going
should
back
ditch
to
me. Yes, she should ditch me.
Yes,
I would not want her to come with me. I would say you stay and enjoy the concert. We'll call a friend. I will make sure I get home. Hopefully, I mean the ideal scenario is there's re-entry allowed. And so, mm-hmm. like, your significant other can take you home and then come back and get back into the building.
Sure.
And it might, you know, especially during a rain delay, that's a specific scenario, like it happened on Sunday night, but you've got a little time built in to get in.
All right.
So that, I think, would be the ideal scenario. If no reentry is allowed, then I think it does come down to the relationship. In our relationship, I would say, we would say it's perfectly acceptable to call a relative or a close friend to try and get the person home so the other doesn't have to leave.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Yeah, in this theoretical situation, how did it end?
She went back into the concert.
Okay.
And he went home.
I can't get into all of those details.
He left the building.
I did say that, but it was an interesting case study, and I do think for me it would be go and enjoy the show. You shouldn't ruin other people. If you're functioning enough to get there, then the other question is, can you self put, you know, they got the little clink under the stadium.
Yeah,
can you self-enroll in the clinkster so that you can still get there and then get a ride home after the show?
And
done.
I bet you could hear the concert from Bucky Jail.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad thing. Yeah.
You could be rocking
so
out.
I think the right play is, I don't want a burden. I appreciate you getting me out and getting me some water and trying to like rehydrate and do the whole bit. And then I'm going to go self-check myself in to the Bucky Clink.
Find the nearest officer.
Was that the Andy Griffith show where the guy would walk in and he'd just like check himself into the jail cell?
Otis the Town Drunk, right?
Otis the Town Otis Drunk,
you got to Otis it.
That is true.
That's the ideal scenario in this hypothetical. Otis it.
But if your significant other doesn't do that, do you then think, what happens if something else happens? Or because this is self-imposed, it's a different deal.
Yeah, self-imposed, it's a different deal.
I agree. I think self-imposed is a completely different deal. I thought she handled the scenario very well.
Well, good.
So I think everybody, in a sticky, very sticky situation, I think it was handled well. But I'm Riley, if your gal, the old quilster,
yep,
she has no interest and says, figure it out. Would that have made you more likely to end things with her rather than her breaking your heart?
It's definitely makes you think. If you can tell there's no care whatsoever, then that would give me pause. Okay. But if there's sorry man, you're an idiot, you did this, I want to enjoy the concert.
Deal with
then
it.
Then it's like, okay,
I get it.
I totally understand that.
I do think it's very different. We'll get to some of the responses. They're rolling in on the Cardinals Talk and Text slide. We'll get to those coming up next. It's
Jeremy and Green Bay's got to go.
There's a few good ones here. It's very different if you're in like Chicago at, I think Beyonce was there not that long. Like if it's not a home game for you, like Riley going to Camp Randall to Morgan Wallen. Would be, okay, he's got friends living in the area that aren't at the concert.
He's got friends in low places, am I right?
I know he's got family.
Is that Morgan Wallen?
No.
That's Garth.
That's Garth. Not exactly.
So you got family that's nearby. You got friends that you know are around. If you're in Indianapolis, if you're in Chicago, if you're in somewhere else where you're not right at home, you handle this differently than if you're in Madison, in your backyard. I think that plays into this,
fair.
Too.
That's true. I walked to the concert.
An interesting window into.
Sorry.
Very responsible.
What a real estate flex. Jeez.
Cool.
I walked there. I came from Cambridge, but I wanted to get some extra stuff.
I was also listening outside the stadium. I didn't have a ticket, but.
Brian Bulaga, Homer, still to come on the show today.
I saw some people carrying chairs and like a six pack, and he just went up and sat on a sidewalk.
Yep.
Probably not a bad idea.
No, I listened to the first six songs. I can get into it next segment. But I chauffeured my aunt, uncle, and their friends to and from the concert because they wanted
to drink.
You should
let me know. We could have given old boy a ride home.
Oh, yeah.
Riley's Uber service.
Yeah. But then I just sat for the first six songs of the concert. I just sat outside.
You'd be a good Uber guy. You'd be a good Uber driver.
I thought I was pretty solid.
No, I'm saying, I think you'd be good. Put one of those pink mustaches up on the top of your car and just go to work.
Another side hustle for me.
You just said it's been a slow week.
Yeah,
4th of July fireworks would be a great time to get started as an Uber guy.
Yeah, it'd be a good week to start.
True.
Summerfest, if you want to get some action down in the Milwaukee area. Yeah. You got a lot of options available for you this week. Tausch, tell us about Pella Windows.
Thank you
Wisconsin.
We just talked about having some resilience, whether it's in your relationship, in life, For windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella Experience. The Pella Experience Center lets you see it, feel it, open and close and slam and compare dozens of windows and door options from seven different Pella lines, and you can do it all side by side. Stop by soon, because if you order by July 31st, you get zero interest for up to 5 years. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
844-770-3776, the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. How would you handle the hypothetical scenario that Tausch presented for the Morgan Wallen concert on Sunday night? Plus, we will get into reactions from the free agent frenzy for the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday and Jason Wilde's countdown of the top 20 most important Packers of 2025. Officially began at channel3000.com yesterday. We'll get into all that. Plus, Brian Bulaga and Homer still to come. Don't go anywhere. It's Jesse and Tausch on Wilde and Tausch. Before we get to the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line at 844-770-3776, a private message from an unnamed ESPN Wisconsin producer.
Okay.
On the private Talk and Text Line. First game back at Camp Randall after COVID, had to be carried out of the stadium at halftime. Two friends left the game to take care of me.
Ooh, so that kind of tells you if that you're, so you think the girlfriend should have left with the young man.
Well, that just means that that's two good friends who said we got to make sure we're taking care of our guy, making sure he gets home safely, which again,
I wonder,
is the
what,
most important
did he
thing.
Say he or she say what time they were taken out of the
after
game
after halftime?
After halftime?
After halftime.
Okay. I was going to say
or
it was
at halftime. At halftime.
At halftime. All yeah. right. That was a close game. That's fair.
Yeah. That was the Penn State game, so they didn't even make the jump around.
I was there, too. That sucked.
Well, there's the jump around was awesome, that you're actually kind of pulling for that, because then you have an excuse to leave.
Well, if it's,
yeah, if it's a Brewer game, it's 9-0.
Yeah, then you have a reason. Right. Yeah. That makes sense. But okay. Close game, you definitely don't want. And the
for
Penn
sure.
State game was close.
All right.
So some of the text rolling in on the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line at 844-770-3776. Jesse and Tausch today on Wilde and Tausch. Jason will be back next week, but also for the State of the Packers at Summerfest on Saturday afternoon with Alex Stroff and Gabe Neitzel. Jeremy in Green Bay responding to the hypothetical of Tausch's scenario at the Morgan Wallen concert on Sunday night, where a couple that had been dating for, I want to summarize this correctly, dating for a year and a half.
I think in that ballpark, yeah.
One of them was, during the thunderstorm evacuation, one of them was removed from the premises.
Evacuated from the evacuation.
Evacuated from the evacuation, yep. For consuming a little too much. Jeremy in Green Bay, I'm going with her no matter what, .. but she is repaying for the ticket plus interest. So he wants his money back if we're both leaving, and you're paying me that and a little extra back.
Okay. I think everybody's got different ways they'd handle this, you know. So I'm not, there's no judgment on my end. I thought it was a very unique circumstance that I thought would play well on air, and I think it has.
Another one here from Dave in Deerfield. You have to leave and take care of the significant other, but then you can use that to your advantage down the road.
It sounds manipulative.
I get it. I've heard the I think it was in the show Suits was when I first heard this saying.
Is that on Andy after Andy Griffith?
It is not. Suits is on Netflix. It had a resurgence like a couple of years ago or last. It was very popular for
kind of irritated. I thought Happy Gilmore 2 was out on the 4th of July weekend.
No, nope, July 25th. 25th? Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Shootout. You can never have too many people owe you one, is the saying that I think came up in the show Suits. Okay. And I've thought about that one over time.
Like, all right.
It's nice to do people favors or, you know, take the high
as
road
long
on
as
something.
They then
you
do favors for you later.
Yeah.
Fair.
Then,
okay.
Then you owe me one. Then you can say, like, hey, let's I want to go golfing today with Tyler.
Hey, I'm going to go down to Bradshaw. I'm going to get at it. And I want you taking me from Rockford back home.
I want you to stay home and mow the lawn. I don't want you to go to Bradshaw. Oh, really? Remember when you had to go home after the Morgan Wallen concert? Huh. I'm going to Bradshaw.
You think Becca would have liked the Bradshaw show?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it was her cup of tea, but I enjoyed it a lot. So did my parents. It was a good time. And so did everyone else that was in the arena, the Hard Rock Casino Rockford on Sunday night. 844-770-3776. Keep your responses coming. We are going to step aside coming up now because Brian Bulaga is scheduled to appear coming up next. We will unveil when Bulaga joins what the 20th ranked Packer is on Jason Wilde's list as he begins the countdown at channel3000.com of the top.
Sounds a little clickbaity to me.
This, isn't that what you like? You like clickbait stuff.
I like interesting things. And this was interesting.
Jason has opinions. He has rankings. These are all the things we want
it's
from Jason that we never
in print,
get from
but not
him.
On air. That's
yeah,
fair.
This okay. is we want. This is Jason at his best.
All right, I won't disagree.
The top 20 Packers of the 2025 season. The countdown has begun at channel3000.com. We'll review it with Brian Bulaga coming up next. But Tausch, since Jason isn't here, you get to tell us about Steinhoffels.
Get your best night's sleep on a Tempur-Pedic mattress from Steinhoffels. And during the 4th of July mattress sale, you save $500 on the Tempur-Breeze. That sounds cool. Plus, you get $300 in Steinhoffels cash. The Tempur-Breeze uses exclusive cooling technology. That sounds fun. And it's hot, keeping you up to 10 degrees cooler night after night. Just think how much better you're going to sleep and how much more recovery you're going to have when you're sleeping. It's 10 degrees cooler. And Queen Breeze mattresses, they start at just $86 per month when you use Steinhoffels 60-month financing. Shop Steinhoffels in-store or online.
Brian Bulaga scheduled to appear next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
You know what that music means. Although there is no Jason Wilde today, there is a Brian Bulaga appearance on Wilde and Tausch. And I've got a bone to pick with Brian Bulaga before we get into
Brian
Packers.
Do?
So we're gonna unveil Jason's top 20 Packers countdown of the most important Packers. He's unveiled the first two names. We're gonna get to those coming up. But first,
you know what I'm interested too is to see, because Jason always blames me for this Bulaga segment going to 10-20.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll make a wager we're gonna be closer to the clock today than when Jason's here.
I would not bet on that.
All right, we'll find out.
We are. Now you have a vested interest. Good morning, Brian Bulaga, Iowa. How are you?
I'm great. And I have a really good idea about this bone you got to pick. And I have a feeling everyone's going to agree with me. Maybe not Tausch, but everyone else nationally, maybe even locally in the state of Wisconsin may even agree with me on this because they see the result of what's going on at particular said school, and they're not happy with it. So, yeah, I think they're going to agree with me, too. So, continue.
Brian Bulaga, noted Iowa Hawkeye alum, texts me and Jason, noticeably Tausch not on the group
and
text
I appreciate
on,
that.
On Friday night.
I did that on purpose. I
appreciate
did that on purpose.
That
So it's like 7 o'clock Friday night. I'm out having a few Coors Light. This is about the time I was asking them to turn the Brewers game on at the establishment we were at. We talked about that yesterday. And I get a text from Bulaga in a group text with him and Jason and I. I'm like, what is this? And it's one of our ESPN Madison Instagram posts from Squat Fest at Camp Randall Stadium, where you hosted the show last Friday. We had a bunch of great Badgers guests join us. Riley was there as part of our social media team. He may have even been the one who put this post up on Instagram of Luke Fickell walking around the weight room as a bunch of the players are, you know, in the spirit of Squat Fest. They're punching bags on the ground, and it's all their great stuff, like good stuff going on. And Bulaga texts us and says, "This is embarrassing. Cringe fest." You were just talking mad trash about Squat Fest, which is one of the more celebrated moments of the offseason, the most celebrated moment of the offseason for Wisconsin football fans outside of like five-star recruits committing to the university. What's your deal? Why are you so anti-Squat Fest? It's fun.
celebrated moments of the off-season program. Explain a celebrated moment of the off-season program. Explain that to me. Like, please, I get, okay, time, let me explain. I get Tausch. Tausch is a big part of the program. Tausch goes to the program. He's involved very heavily in said program. Tausch goes to a program and watches guys train, and he's heavily involved. You being excited about Squat Fest and telling me Squat Fest is a enormous part and a very exciting part of the off-season program makes absolutely no sense to me. And then seeing guys punching a punching bag on the ground during Squat Fest. It's Squat Fest, right? Like, they're
squat
under
fest
a rack.
Is the name of the event. Yeah.
Yes, and they're squatting weight, right? Like, I'm assuming they're trying to, like, PRs, and yes. I would imagine they're team weights, right? Like,
yeah,
they're trying to, like,
you're working out through
the
off
season.
It's the last workout before the guys go home for the 4th of July and kind of their summer break and then come back for camp in late July.
Yes.
Right.
So what does punching a bag on the ground have to do with squatting? That's my first question. Tausch, do you know what punching a bag on the ground has to do with squatting? Can you answer me that?
I think it's a, you know, it's not just, you're not going to sit in there for 2 hours and squat, Blue. I mean, you're not going to load the rack.
I know,
and
believe
just,
me. I, believe
you're not
going to
squat for 2 hours. There's other exercises. There's core, all the other stuff that you do. And Blue, so here's what I would tell you. And you and Jesse can have this argument. And first thing is, I love the fact that you're following Wisconsin football on your Instagram. I love
well,
that
Madison.
You're.
Well, it's Madison. I mean, it's Madison.
Yeah, he's a company man.
Okay, well, and you know what? We appreciate that. But the other thing, and this is where when you're in the off season, and you know this, there's spring ball, there's the spring game, which is another part of a highlight of it. I think what Squat Fest is, and what Luke Fickell has done by bringing it, and Brady Collins, it's about putting your guys in some adverse situations and having the team bond around that. Oh, this is, I don't know if I can move 650 pounds today. Let's get our group and rally and let's build that camaraderie that we have. That's what Squat Fest was. And as far as all of the celebrations and everything else, the punching bags, I don't know, Brian. I mean, it's something, you know, you're working your hands and doing all that. That's what Squat Fest is. And I think it gives them a break. They kind of have this is the spot. Then they take the fourth off. And then it's the second phase. And then ball starts. So they're trying to make this more fun, maybe a bigger environment where guys have to fight through some adversity. That's what Squat Fest is. I think it's fun for the players. Fun with hard work. It's a good combination. That's what
it is. Can I say that I have absolutely no problem with a team competition within the offseason. May I first by saying that. When I was at the University of Iowa with Coach Ferentz and Coach Doe as a strength coach, we also had team competition throughout the entire offseason. We were split into teams, and throughout the entire offseason, there was a competition. What it was called, no idea. Don't remember. Don't
corn
care what
fest.
It was called, actually.
Yeah. Mm. And you got to eat corn after you're done.
Maybe. My question would be
Hawkeyes.
My question would be this. The point of having the social media and the other people in there and the gawking around it, I guess, is my question. What is the point of that?
Building excitement and anticipation and getting a chance to be for fans. Fans like to have access to the team. And if you get a chance to see, this is a big, they've got strobe lights. The guys are wearing like the quarterback had like a toga on as he was doing his the other day. They got the paint on their faces. Like, it's a cool, unique situation to have some great, like Tausch is hosting the show on Friday afternoon or Friday morning. And there's red and white, like strobe lights going off while we're doing the show. It's a one-of-a-kind atmospheric experience. It's exciting. It's fun during a time where the Brewers are playing, but there's not a lot else going on in the world of sports this time of year. Like, this is a fun thing to capture and be part of and build anticipation and excitement for the coming football season. Badgers fans love this.
Do they? And this is not, and I know Tausch is going to get mad at me, and I don't want Tausch to get mad at me.
No, you don't.
Like, this isn't... No, I don't want Tausch to be mad at me. Like, this is not, and this is not trying to like stir a pot. And because I'm not sitting here and saying that like my program's a national champ, they're not. But does like does getting excited about potentially a struggling, like when they're struggling, is that like what we should be like promoting that?
Well,
that's my question.
That's what do you want them to do? Not promote the team at all and be like, well,
it's not about promoting the team. It's not about not promoting the team. That's not what I'm saying. Like, I mean, the promoting the team is not the thing, but like squat fest in general and like strobe lights. You're excited about strobe lights and face paint. That was what you told me through the text chain. Yeah. You were excited about strobe lights and face paint.
Just like you get excited about like 13 points a game.
But they're winning.
Sometimes.
More than you did last year.
Fair. Last year was a bad year. Okay. Everybody knows last year was a bad year.
but if you're gonna knock points and then wins and losses, I mean, like that's what the end of the day, like it's the end of the day result, right? Like it's like wins and losses.
Yeah. Last year was an anomaly. Iowa scored more points than usual. Wisconsin didn't reach a bowl game. We'll go back to where we should be this year. I'm confident in that. You'll be back to 14 points a game. We'll be back to reaching bowl games and winning games and beating some quality teams in the Big Ten. And everyone will be back to where they need to be. I'm confident in that this year after seeing what the team did at Squat Fest last week.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, let's. Here's what we're going to do. You guys had your fun little banter.
You got Tausch
mad. I'll say this.
You got
put
a mad blue.
No, I'm not mad at all. To put a bow on this, Jesse loves the face paint and the strobe lights. What I love about it is the work, what they're doing, yeah, the gains that they're making, and the adversity that you get put in. And in an off season where you're always trying to replicate as much football activity as you can, this does more than a normal lift. That's why I'm all right with it. I think it's fun. The players are having some fun with it. But Blue is right. It's going to come down to playing on the field, and all this other stuff is just window dressing. And Wisconsin needs to be better than what they were last year, and everybody is well aware of that. You know what isn't? American Family Insurance. They are the best, and they are a proud partner of Wilde and Tausch for almost 100 years. They've been committed to making life better with the right home and auto protection, all so you're free to enjoy your dreams. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. When we come back, we're going to talk Packers. I want to hear Blue's thoughts on Jason's 20th pick, but I want to get into, again, we talk O-line on this show when Brian Bulaga is on. I am very interested to hear what he's thinking as far as what he would do, and we've had this discussion, but it's getting closer. The 4th of July, once that weekend is over, the switch flips on for football players. It starts being about football. We'll get all of those thoughts with Brian Bulaga next on Wilde and Tausch. Famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch. No Wilde today, Jesse and Tausch. But
hey, Blue, do you follow Dove Kleiman on social media? I think he's like a fake. I don't know if he's fake. We can't tell if he's fake.
Someone bought his account.
I do not like the news.
Yeah, it's not
Dove.
The same as it used to be.
It's all clickbait.
I'm debating erasing it. I thought Dove used to bring some interesting stuff to the table. And now I just am doing, like, none of it. It all is just kind of.
No, I don't follow him.
That's
I
smart.
Do not follow him.
Don't.
No.
Okay.
No.
Good deal.
Was there a tweet you saw that?
Yeah, I'm just sure he sent so many tweets. There was something that I.
The Joe Burrow thing? That's one you sent over yesterday where he was getting heckled by fans. Is that what you were thinking?
I don't know if players and their reps pay him to like promote their stuff. That's the vibe I get.
Hmm.
Derrick Henry jumping over trucks. Like, okay. We're good. My point is, I used to think his account was really good. Now I don't.
You're out on Dove. Dove
I'm
used to be
Dove.
Your guy. Now you're out on new
I'm
Dove.
Thinking about unfollowing him.
All right. Thank you for that declaration.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate that. Jason Wilde has provided at channel3000.com his beginning of the countdown of the top 20 most important Packers of the 2025 season. Checking in at number 20.
Speaking of clickbait,
Jason actually did spoil this yesterday when he shared it with us. Luke Musgrave, tight end Luke Musgrave, in at number 20. And today, posted at channel3000.com, in at number 19, rookie wide receiver Matthew Golden. Luke Musgrave, number 20. Matthew Golden, number 19. The countdown will continue as we continue to count down to training camp next week. Bulaga, Brian Bulaga, we ask you, Luke Musgrave and Matthew Golden, what are your expectations for them, respectively, heading into this 2025 season?
Yeah, I mean, starting with Musgrave, like I think since the tight end position, I mean, we all know Tucker Kraft's obviously the number one. A lot of things are going to run through him. Through this offense, I think there's going to be more of a shift offensively through the air to him. I think that's something probably that's going to be prioritized. But with that, you got to have a plan. And, you know, just in the NFL, things happen, right? Like, you just have to have backup plans, and things happen in the NFL. And I don't, you know, I hate to bring up anything of that nature, but as Campy always would say, Tausch knows it too, you know,
shoestring
comes untied, shoelace comes untied, or a trim strap. Something happens throughout a game, and, you know, you got to go in the game. And, you know, the thing is, Musgrave's going to play a lot anyway, a lot of two tight end sets. He's going to be in the game regardless. So he's going to see a lot of snaps. But he's going to have to step up his game, right? He's going to have to step up his game to see more game time if he's, you know, if LaFleur's going to trust
Blue,
these two tight end sets.
If I may, why do you think Musgrave's going to take a lot of snaps? Because all we've been hearing about is all these wideouts and Golden, and we know you only play 11. Why do you think there's going to be? Because Kraft ain't coming off the field. He's going to be a three down.
No.
He is going to be, he'll be, if he's healthy, 85-90% of the reps guy. Why do you think Musgrave will play a lot?
Well, I think LaFleur is going to want to do a lot of two tight end sets. I think he's going to be a big 21 personnel guy. I think that's going to something they're going to want to. I think he's going to want to do a lot of that based on a lot of the talk earlier in the offseason. I don't mean like OTAs. I mean, prior to that, there was a lot of chatter about being a 21 personnel team, right? A lot of what the Patriots used to do and working the offense through the tight ends and how the run game developed last year. And it was kind of a surprise to a lot of people. And if you're able to do that, have a good run game, and you have two good tight ends that can work the middle of the field and work seams, and the play action can really evolve from that. So that's one way I look at it, why he may be able to get
Brian,
a lot of snaps
if he does that. Do you think he then has to put Jordan Love under center a lot more? Because you don't really – I don't think you want to be doing a ton of that personnel groupings and doing a bunch of gun. Is that a fair assessment?
Agreed. Yes, 100%. You got to be under center in 21. Especially if you're going to do a lot of play action and things like that. Which, then again, going back to last year, how they were in gun a lot, Jacobs likes gun a lot. That's going to be another little tweak, right, to what we saw a lot last year, which is going back to what LaFleur likes to do initially with his scheme, is under center, play action, stretch, things like that. So that may be a little revert back to what the offense initially was when LaFleur first got here, which I think is fantastic, right? Like, I think that's really good. And I'm not saying he can't go in the gun, because Jacobs is really good out of the gun, but it would be good to see that. But I think there's going to be a place for Musgraves. I think he's going to have to earn time, right? But, you know, if we're going to be in 21 personnel, he's going to be the guy that's going to be there. Now, it all depends on him, how much of that personnel we do run, right? Like, I think that's what this comes down to, because if you don't have another tight end that you can trust in 21 personnel, you're not going to run it much. Like, that's just the nature of it, right? You're just not going to go out there in 21 when you don't have another tight end in line that you can trust to run it. And that's just... That's the way it is.
I wonder, can he, because we all, his rookie season, everybody, I remember Jason taking snapshots of his quads and running. Oh, he's such a freak athlete. And then you watched him in a game, and it didn't translate to me. So I think he's got great speed. You know, they measure speed, and he was the fastest guy clocked at practice. And so he has all that stuff. But if you're going to do that two tight sets, you got to be able to block. And I don't know. Maybe he's gotten a lot better. But can you get by with, you know, Tucker we know can block. Musgrave, I think we want to think he can. Can you get by doing that if you have one guy? Both guys need to be able to block the run game. And then I don't think there's any question both can get out and run the routes that you're going to be looking for. But if you're going to do that, you better have both guys be able to block.
100%. Well, that's and I think that's where Musgrave struggles. I think that's kind of where he, you know, kind of at this point now, you know, he's had his ups and downs with injuries, and that's kind of been his unfortunate kind of stalling point throughout his time in Green Bay. Is like he's shown some promise and then something happens. He shows and like that's kind of been his issue. But if you're going to look at kind of where there may be some limitation, it's in the run game, right? And Kraft is so good in the run game. He's a really willing and able and you know, good blocker that, you know, that's for sure going to be a positive for him. And Musgrave is, I don't know if he's there as a blocker or quite as good. And if you're going to run that, you know, that personnel grouping, you got to have two able blockers because you can't just run one way. You can't just run to one tight end because that becomes very predictable, right? Like if you just run to Kraft, that becomes very easy for defenses to key in on and it won't work. So, that's what I'm saying. How much they are in that personnel group comes down to how Musgraves performs and how he goes through training camp and the preseason work and how he, you know, looks. Does he have all the skill set? Yes, he does. He has all the skill set to put it together. It's just how does it work out for him? And that's really what this comes down to.
Joined by Brian Bulaga on Wildy and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. Jason Wildy's list of the top 20 most important Packers for the 2025 season unveiled at channel3000.com with number 20, Luke Musgrave, and number 19, rookie wide receiver Matthew Golden. I think it was Mina Kimes called Matthew Golden the X factor for the Green Bay Packers heading into this 2025 season. I mean, that would work too. Their whole thing was X factors for every team when they did it, but the Golden Boy will catch on, yes. Expected to be potentially a new fan favorite for fans to enjoy when he takes the field. Obviously, the draft and the pomp and circumstance that went into that was pretty magical on that Thursday night in Green Bay. What are your expectations, Blue, for Matthew Golden in the Packers offense this year? Will he be an impact wide receiver right away, or will it take a year or two for him to become the dependable potential number one wide receiver?
I think it's going to take a little bit of time for him to be the number one, right? Like, I think it's going to take a little bit of time. I think to expect him to come out right out of the gates and be the true number one, I think we need to kind of like let him adapt and you know, kind of grow into this offense and figure out, you know, his role and his comfort level in it, right? I mean, I think we all saw OTAs wasn't too taxing and too strenuous, and it wasn't really what it used to be, where guys would really kind of get thrown to the fire early in OTAs and they would be stressed and they would have to learn the playbook and it would be almost full speed against starting defenses, and guys would have to learn under fire, and it would be, you know, a lot of reps and a lot of different looks against high quality, you know, starters. And that's just not the case in OTAs anymore. So he's going to have to start learning all this against our starting defense. And then obviously once, you know, joint practices come in training camp. So he's going to have, you know, to start learning and figuring out, you know, who he is as an NFL player once training camp starts. And you know, for rookies, some catch on faster, some it takes a little bit of time. So for him, we don't know how long that's going to take. But, you know, there's other guys in that room that we can depend on at this point in time to, you know, to kind of carry that burden while he figures that out, right? I mean, there are veteran guys in that room that have a point to prove this year as well, which I think is a big plus for the Green Bay Packers going into this season. But for Golden, listen, I think he's going to be a good football player. I think he can be, you know, sky's the limit for him. I think by, you know, you look, at least for me, I'm hoping by midseason, he's going to be a real weapon, because I think LaFleur's going to figure out what is really good for him in terms of packages and plays and routes and like everything. He's going to figure out what is really good for him right now as a rookie. I'm not saying for the rest of his career, but as a rookie, what he's comfortable with, what he's good at, and what he knows really well by probably middle of the season. And then you can cut him loose and let him go and play. And he's comfortable as a player doing all that. He learns coverages. He's able to adjust the coverages on the fly. I think people think it's just you go out there, you run routes, and you get the ball thrown to you. No, I mean, these receivers are adjusting to coverages on the fly. They're sitting down in zones and in coverages, and they're adjusting to coverages as, you know, the play is as the ball snaps. So there's a lot of things these guys are doing and adjusting to on the fly that they're learning on the job, so to speak. So we got to give them a little bit of time. But he's going to play a major role in the season. He's going to be play a major role. There's going to be a lot asked of him. And I expect him to, you know, play well as the season comes. You know, you look to November, December, I expect him to start to catch on and play really good ball. I'm certainly not going to be panicking by, you know, October if he isn't, you know, blowing up the scene. I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, no, I'm not worried about that at that point. He's got to figure himself out as an NFL pro, right? Like, you got to give him time and let him adjust, and he'll be fine. But I think he's going to be a good football player and all that. And I want to go back. It was actually 12 personnel. I'm sorry. I said 21. It's 12 personnel for the tight ends. I just want to make
somebody corrected you. Yeah. Wildy would have corrected. Well, Wildy doesn't know. So Blue, who's going to, if you had a bet right now, take Tucker Kraft out of the equation, who's going to lead this team in receptions?
Ooh. Take Kraft out. I'll say Reed. I like Reed.
Why not Dobbs?
No, I like Dobbs.
He picked Reed. He thinks Reed's going to do it.
I understand, but Romeo Dobbs has been kind of the dependable go-to guy, it feels like, in clutch situations the last couple of years. It's curious that you would say Jaden Reed more than Dobbs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, you could pick, you can go down the line and, like Tosh was kind of saying, you can pick one of the three or four guys, you know what I mean?
Why
you
not
pick
Melton? These guys.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
Watson!
And Watson. If Watson leads the team in receptions when he comes back late in the season, we got some issues.
I think Watson, you start just listening and reading the tea leaves here. I don't think Watson's going to miss as much time. I said that Jason was like, he's not going to be back till December. I'm like, you don't know that. Well, you all of a sudden,
no, you don't
did
know
I
that.
Miss something? Did he get a doctorate degree and start studying knees? Like, the odds would say yes, but I think it's going to be a question mark if he's going to get pupped or not. That's what I think is going to happen. I think eventually they will pup him and he'll miss 6 weeks, but I would bet he's playing before Halloween.
Before Halloween is what you're going to say. You're going to put your flag in that camp.
He's running. He's cutting. And yes, it's different. I get all of that. But he is highly motivated. And I think the Packers, if he proves that he can get out there and do it, he is going to push and push. This isn't going to be one of those, I'm going to wait till I'm 6,000% healthy. I think he's going to push to get out there because he knows it's a gamble, no question. But just reading how things are, reading what LaFleur is saying, watching him put his videos up, I know it's different, but I will be surprised. You remember when everybody thought Rashawn Gary was going to be out for half the season and he started practicing at training camp? I don't think that's going to happen, but I think he will be playing before before Halloween. It's my prediction.
I mean, like what you're saying is, I mean, everything that I've seen too, like he looks good.
He's
at
a freak
this point
athlete,
in time. And like you said, like it is different. As you know, you've torn ACLs, I've torn ACLs. I understand it's different doing rehab work and things like that. And
it's different being a lineman compared to being a wideout there's more explosivity and all that. I get all that.
But he looks good. I will say that. He looks good. And all the reports are that he looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And how he's running and cutting. Like, it's impressive stuff. And he is a freak athlete. So, it would not surprise me either. And for his sake, I hope he is able to get back out.
Too.
And he is able to prove. And he is able to prove that he's good. And he's able to play. And he's able to put up numbers. And he's able to, if at the minimum, get an extension or something that and get some money that he can then get another year to prove what he is as a wideout and then get paid. You're right. I'm hoping that for him because I think he's a good player. So That's what I hope.
Yeah, even Blue, if he gets and they work him in slowly because of that world-class speed that he's got and size, you just do some things early where you just do, you know, he's kind of a one-trick pony where you just run him down and you run fly routes, because for as much as Jesse has poo-pooed him, and you have poo-pooed him, he makes this offense different. He makes people afraid of that speed. And you watch the end of last season, there was a collapsing down. There wasn't the threat of over the top. That's why you grab Golden, because you have to have young talent coming in and you don't know what you're getting and you can't trust that Watson will be out there yet. But, man, if you can start mixing that puzzle together, whoo, going to be fun. I do think that I'm hoping that is the case for Christian too. Blue, before we let you go, what do you make? It's going to be the 4th of July. Was it for you, was it always, all right, man, we left minicamp OTAs, going to celebrate, relax, and then once you're done with your family and you do all the 4th of July stuff, does the flip switch? Because it always did for me, like, I better make sure I got my gassers so I can get that pass before we get going. And then football is just on your brain probably a lot more than it should be right after that 4th of July.
Yeah, essentially once the 4th passes, I mean, you know, they want you to take, you know, they give you the month of July off to decompress from football, but there's no way to avoid once the 4th goes by. That's all you can really think about, right? You're just training and thinking about camp, right? Like, it's just like the inevitable countdown of when am I leaving to go to camp? And that's all you think about. You know, they can let you out as early as they want in June, and no matter what, once the 4th passes, that's really all you're consumed about, is you're thinking about that. So hope these guys enjoy these next few days, because at least that's the way I was always thinking, is, you know, have a couple cold ones. Tausch Surfside, or Coors, I'm going to drink some Surfside.
There you go.
Maybe that's what these guys are doing. Once that turns around, you know, it's time to think ball. And that gets – that kind of turns the question with the Green Bay Packers and Elgton Jenkins. Like, we got to start thinking about what's going on here.
Him, right? And like, Zach, I mean, Tom, and both.
And Tom. Like, we got to start thinking about, like, are we getting this thing done? Right? Like, because, like, that's to me – because we, you know, we passed the 4th, and when do they report the 23rd? And they're on the field probably the 24th, would be my guess.
The 23rd, right? Like, is the first day of camp.
Yeah, 22nd report, yeah. 23rd mm-hmm. practice.
Yeah, I mean, the 23rd is going to come and be here before you even know it.
Yeah.
It'll be here before you know it. So, like, that makes me a little nervous, right? Like, it makes me a little nervous that, like, you don't hear anything. Nothing's happened. There's no chatter.
Which one gets resolved first? It's got to be Elgton.
It makes me think that Elgton has to get done first, right? Like, because that one seems so easy. Like, it's just so easy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the Zach Tom one, obviously, it's going to be
an extension. That's going to be complicated.
Yeah, it's an extension. You know, there's going to be some. It's going to be somewhere in the $80 to $90 million range of an extension. The guarantee is going to be the fun part in that. How are they going to do that? That's going to be the interesting part of that, because Green Bay does not want to guarantee money. But if you look at the right tackle contracts, like,
he's
going to
get 25. You think he's 25 a year is about where he's going to settle? Because Sewell, I think, is 27.5 or 28. Lane Johnson's in that upper 20s.
Yeah, he's going to be in that 21 and a half to 24 would be my guess.
Okay. Yeah. I am going to be fascinated to see if he holds out or holds in.
Yeah.
He's not going to hold out.
Yeah.
If he doesn't practice.
No, he won't hold out, yeah.
If he doesn't practice, what is Green Bay going to do? Like, it's going to be interesting.
Because you haven't heard a peep from him.
What's that?
Yeah, you haven't heard a peep. You haven't heard a peep from Zach Tom.
He has said last year he didn't play as well, and that's where that whole Adam Stenovich competition thing. I really think they were playing mind jujitsu and saying, "Well, if you don't get in here, you're not going to be the guy." Well, then that got poo pooed with Goody and everybody else, and they're obviously working through contract stuff. They're at least trying to get that ball rolling. It still doesn't make any sense. That's the only thing that made sense. And we'll see, because he will report, but I don't know if he's going to touch the field because he's only going to be making $3.5 or $4 million when he should be making, in his mind, $25-26 million. So
yeah,
we shall see.
Yep. And look at it this way too. I know you guys are on a clock. He played last year. I'm going to say he played last year with that pack. People can say, oh, it was fixed. That thing was injured probably more than half the year.
Yeah, the strength wasn't coming back until you get an off season with it either.
Yeah. So, like, he played through a major injury pretty much the entire year. So, like, he gave them a lot last year. Like, it's not like
– And then people are poo-pooing him because he gave some stuff up, and then, oh, we're going to have that just tells you, take care of yourself. And that's why when and if he does hold out, I don't want to hear a ton of fans saying – oh, he's got a contract. Nope. He's got this. No, no, no. Just remember how this played out. And I know that we're all there's Packer fans, and you want the organization to win. I get it. But just remember. Mm-hmm. And then remember, if Dame Lillard was in the NFL, they'd have said, deuces, B. Thank you for your service. We ain't giving you jack. And by the way, go rehab somewhere else. That's what happens in the NFL.
Yes, so, that is correct.
Zach Tom, get your money. Elton Jenkins, get your money.
Preach.
Brian Bulaga, thank you for the time. Even though you disparage Squat Fest, we still enjoy your insights on the Green Bay Packers.
Like, you know, and see, then you just go right back. You go full
you're
circle.
You're the one who started
Tausch put a bow on it, and then you go right back. Like
that's why we're never on the clock because Jesse sees a bow and then he unties it and tries to retie.
That is exactly why that happens. Blue, enjoy the 4th of July. I hope you and the family have a great time this weekend, and we will catch up next week. Thank you.
All right, guys, take care.
Brian Bulaga on Wildy and Tausch and on ESPN Wisconsin. He'll be enjoying a few beverages over the 4th of July weekend. Tausch, I have a feeling you and I will both be cracking open some Coors Lights.
We will, and whether you're tailgating pregame, going to go fishing, going to go watch some fireworks, enjoy your experience and have a cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filter, and it's cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I'm pretty good. On the show sheet, over-under, start of hour two set for 10:16. Look what time we got right now. Bang. 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's Jesse and Tausch on Wildy and Tausch.